to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to teach this morning on something that I believe is vital for each and every one of us, and I want to talk about setting and achieving goals this morning. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful again for another day that you've given us. Lord, we're thankful for the beautiful weather that you've given us. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, the word that you've given us to read, Lord. And we know every word is true, Lord, and in it contains directions for life. And Father, this morning as we open your word, we pray that you would help us to get something here this morning that would allow us to go out and serve you better, Father. We sure would be thankful. We'll be sure to give you the praise, glory, and honor for anything that you would see fit to do, because you're the only one that deserves it. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Goals. I believe that the most successful people in life, regardless if we're talking about the spiritual life, the Christian life, the financial life, the most successful people out there have set some goals for themselves, and they've made a way, they've put something in their mind and in their heart that they're going to go out and achieve those goals. We can look around the world and we can see people that go from job to job. They go from this place to that place to this place to that place, and they hold this job for a week, and then they go have this job for a couple months, and then they go over here and do this thing for a while. Why is that? It's because they've never sat down and said, this is what I want to accomplish with my life. But, you know, I believe if we went around and, you know, we just took off the suit jackets and the ties and we just started going door to door and knocking on people's doors and not telling them that we're affiliated with any church, not telling them that we are a Christian, that we would go to Christians' homes and as we knocked on their door and asked them, what are your goals? I think we'd hear the same thing that the world says. We'd hear, I want a nice home, I want a good job, I want security, I want some health insurance, I want a nice vehicle to drive, and then somewhere on that list they'd say something like this, oh yeah, and I want to be a good Christian. I believe that most Christians do not have goals for God. They don't set goals and say, this is how I'm going to serve God, this is what I'm going to do to live the life that God wants me to live. Let's look here at Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. The Bible says this. It says, well, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What an example we have in the Apostle Paul. Here's a man that started out persecuting Christians, and the Lord got a hold of his heart, and he got saved. And it wasn't necessarily the same way that you and I get saved today, but it was through faith in Jesus Christ. He got saved, and he went out and served God. And he took all the things that he did against God, and he started taking that same energy and his desires and serving God. And there's a man that went and was beaten and suffered persecution time and again. And we could read in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's in chapter 11, talks about all the things that Paul suffered. So why did Paul go out there and serve God without giving up? It's because he had a goal. He wanted to please God. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul says this. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul's goal was to go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ, his own people, the Israelites, that they might be saved. And he set that goal in his heart, and he never looked back. He went forward, and he determined that no matter what came his way, he was going to serve God. And he was going to tell people about Jesus Christ. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Clear back in the end of the Old Testament, right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says this. It says, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." I believe what we should do with our goals is write them down, because when you write something down and you tell other people about it, you're accountable for it. And then once it's written down, you can keep that goal in front of you at all times, and every day you put it on the refrigerator, you put it in your car, wherever, you're looking at that goal that you have. Now, what types of goals should we have? Well, I believe this. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that God created all things for his pleasure. And I believe that he created us for his pleasure. So that means you and I are supposed to please God. So we should have goals that are pleasing to God. You know, you may need to start real simple with some of these goals. This week I'm going to hand out one track. This week I'm going to hand out five tracks. This week I'm going to read my Bible at least 10 to 15 minutes every day. This week I'm going to make it to every single church service. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to show up at church. And many Christians don't even have those simple goals. And we need to, as Christians, the same goals we have to go out there and make money and make a good living, take care of our family, we should have goals to serve God. And it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. I'm going to sell my house, sell my car, and pack up my family and move to the Philippines. If that's what God wants you to do, that's what you need to do. But we need to start as Christians with the basic things that God wants us to do. He wants us to hear his word preached and taught. He wants us to study his word. He wants us to have Christian fellowship. He wants us to be a witness. Those are four simple things that we need to have goals for God. Now let's look at how Paul did this. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, the first thing that I want to say about setting and achieving goals, look at verse 13, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." The first thing I want to say this morning when it comes to setting and achieving goals is we need to forget some things in our past. You know what? No matter what you said or did yesterday, no matter how much you worry about it today, you can't go back there and change it. You can't go back there and say, you know what, I said this thing yesterday and I wish I could take that back. The spoken word, as soon as it's said, it's done. Sometimes I wish I could reach out there, hey, get back here and grab that word and put it back in my mouth, but it doesn't work like that. Right. There's not a one thing that you can do to go back there and fix anything you did yesterday. Once it's done, it's done. And there's people here in this world that they live their life in yesterday. They made a mistake in their life, or they've done something wrong, or they wish they would have done something differently, and all they can do is dwell on the past, and dwell on the past, and dwell on the past, and they'll never get anywhere in life because they're so worried about something that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There's people that are dwelling on stuff that happened 30, 40 years ago. You know what? You can't change it. You can't go back and fix it. I look back at my life, and yeah, there's some things that I did were really not bright. I've done some things that I'm not proud of at all that I should have never done. But you know what? If I live back there where I did those things and I don't get over them, I'm never going to go anywhere for God. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you're dwelling in the past and worried about everything that you did yesterday or last year or a decade ago, you're not going to go anywhere for God. Luke chapter 9. In verse 62, Bible says this, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And in verse 10, the Bible says this, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. There's not only people that live in the past and dwell on things that went wrong in the past. There's people that live in the past and all they can talk about is how good it used to be. And you know, back then, and when I was a kid, you know, there wasn't pornography all over the place. There wasn't even TV really to watch unless it was a black and white television. And you could go to school and not have to worry about getting shot. Oh, how great those days were. That may be true. But we're not in those days. We're in today. And we need to focus on the here and now and forget about our past. Now, there are some things that, yes, we should remember about our past. Remember the fact that before you got saved, that you were going to die and burn in hell forever. And that's something that we need to remember. We need to remember that without Jesus Christ, we were lost and undone, and no matter how good of a person we thought we were going to die and burn for eternity. And that's the thing that should motivate us to go out there and serve God. But all these things that we've done wrong and failed, I don't care if it happened before you got saved or after you got saved. Because once you get saved, you don't stop sinning. If you know somebody that has, let me know. Because I haven't run into them yet. I don't care who you are, what position you hold. If you're the pastor, the deacon, the trustee, the soul winner, it doesn't matter. You're still going to sin. But we have a way out of that sin, and it's through Christ Jesus. And we actually have a help to overcome that sin, and it's through Christ Jesus. And we need to understand that we're not going to live a perfect life. We're going to make mistakes. We're human. And as we make those mistakes, we have to ask God to forgive them, forgive us for them, and move on and not live in the past. This does no good with people living 5, 10, 15, 5 minutes ago. You can't change it. So the first thing I want to say is when it comes to setting and achieving goals is we need to forget the past. The next thing I want to look at over there in Philippians chapter 3, once we've forgotten the past, we need to focus. We need to focus on what are we going to do for God. In Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 13, Paul says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." When you reach for something, you need to focus on it, or you're going to be doing this number. And we need to focus, as we reach forth, we need to focus to go out there and serve God. Paul was definitely focused. He was forward focused and not past possessed. You know, Paul could have sat there and said, you know what, man, I've done these terrible things against God and His people. I put them in jail. I consented to their death. I've watched these guys close as they stoned Stephen to death. And man, look at these terrible things I've done. And he could have said, how could God ever forgive somebody like me? And how could God ever use somebody like me? And he could have sat right there in self-pity and never went anywhere. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians that do that. There's a lot of Christians that they can't get by their past. And they say, well, God can't use me. So they never focus and reach forth to do anything for God. Paul was definitely focused. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 lists all the things that Paul went through. And he said, I don't care. Let's look over there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All these things are going on in Paul's life, and all he can think about is telling people about Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I think I'm in the wrong chapter there. Yeah. I'm in 1 Corinthians, that's why. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible says this, and this is Paul kind of being pushed into boasting a little bit, but look what he's telling them. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul could have quit at any time, and I don't think any of us would say, oh, he's not a good Christian. Paul could have quit, and we would have probably said, yeah, once they beat me 39 times, I probably would have quit too. But he didn't, because he was focused on going out there and telling people about Jesus Christ. He forgot where he came from. He didn't dwell on the past. And then he looked ahead and said, I'm going to go out there and serve God. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Unfortunately, what we usually do is we can set these goals and we can say, you know what? I'm going to hand out tracts. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do that thing for God. And then we get started, and you know what happens? Life happens. Something's going to go wrong. The car's going to break down. The washing machine's going to quit working. The dryer's going to stop working. The hose is going to freeze outside, and it's going to leak down through your ceiling and burst your pipe. Speak from experience on that one. Something's going to go wrong. Life continues to happen. You know what? When we set those goals for God, you know what the devil's going to do? If he realizes you set some goals for God, he's going to try to get in there and mess you up. He's going to try to get in there and interfere. God's excited when we set goals for him, so is the devil, because the devil says, oh, you got these goals, well, I'm going to come here and undermine you, and I'm going to make you focus on all this other stuff so you don't have time to go out there and achieve your goals for God. And we live in a society today that quite honestly is taught, and it's taught because I've seen it firsthand experience, that when things get too hard, find a way around it, find a way to circumvent it, don't stand up to it and go through it, but you try to find a way to lie, cheat, or steal to get around it so it's not so hard for you. That's the society we live in. And that's what they're teaching in the public school systems. Maybe not up this way or down this way, but Stark County and Wayne County, that's what they're teaching, because I deal with those high school students all the time. And instead of trying to develop some kids with character and integrity and a desire to excel in life, they say, you know what? Here's the brick wall. Don't push your way through it. Lie, cheat, or steal to get around it, and change the rules so it's not an obstacle for you. Mm-hmm. So that rubs off on the Christian world too. And now all these problems come, and we have these goals for God, and then there's an obstacle. And instead of saying, you know what, I set this goal for God, and I'm going to go through this obstacle, and I'm going to serve God regardless, we say, you know what, boy, this is too tough. Had to work on my car till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm really tired, and I know I said I was going to read my Bible every day, but God will understand if I just go to sleep. He'll understand. I'll get to it tomorrow. You know, my goal was to hand out at least one gospel tract a day, but what a tough day at work, and man, am I tired. And God will understand if I don't stop by the store or just stop here on the sidewalk and hand a tract out. And instead of being focused, we just do the same thing the world does, and we say, yeah, it's a little bit too hard to set goals for God and achieve them, so I'm just going to stop. You look at some of the people out there outside of the Bible that have served God. I mean, Apostle Paul, to me, is an amazing man, what he went through and suffered and served God. But right now, there's people that have set in their heart, they set goals to serve God, and they're on the missions field all over the world. And they're in churches all over the world this morning, because they set some goals and said, no matter how hot it gets, no matter how cold it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how short on money I get, no matter how many people dislike me for what I'm doing, no matter how many people call me a name, no matter how many people go against me, I set goals for God, and I'm going to go out there and achieve them. What are your goals for God this morning? Have you set any goals for God this morning? I don't know. I'm not you. I know that most Christians don't. We have this general idea of what a good Christian is, and that's pretty much as far as our goals go. We say, okay, I know I'm supposed to come to church, and I know I'm supposed to pray, and I know I'm supposed to read my Bible, and I should probably have Christian friends. But we never actually say, how much should I read my Bible? Amen. Can't read your Bible enough. How much should I pray? Can't pray enough. How much fellowship should I have with other Christians? You might be able to get enough of that, but it takes a lot. How many times should I come to church? Can't get enough of that. But we just have this general thing, I'm going to be a good Christian, instead of these are the specific goals I'm going to have for God. Paul forgot where he came from. He forgot his past. and then he focused on the future and he moved forward. Philippians chapter 4, well, actually, if you're wondering, you know, what do I focus on, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 will give you the whole list of things you should focus on. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's some things for you to focus on right there. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Most people get themselves into trouble, whether it's work or in their personal life, for this reason right here. Psalm 90, verse 12. Bible says this. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Time management. That's why most people, honestly, from my experience and what I've seen, they have not very good time management skills, and they don't write stuff down, and they don't keep track of stuff, and they don't prioritize stuff. So when all this stuff starts coming, they don't know which way to go. I've experienced that in the military. I've experienced that outside the military. I've experienced that in the Christian life, in the church, outside of the church. Most people aren't good at managing their time. And instead of saying, hey, this is my goal, this is what I'm going for, all this other stuff, you know what? If I can get the water to stop leaking tonight, I can fix it tomorrow. I can go out there and serve God tonight. If I can get a ride to where I'm going, I can worry about changing oil in the car tomorrow. But what happens to most people is, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to soul win tonight. I'm going to hand out tracts. And here comes that little thing that goes wrong, and oh, that's an excuse why you don't have to go out there and serve God. And they're not really truly focused on serving God. Time management, if you prioritize your goals for God, you'll be much more successful because that becomes a priority as opposed to everything that comes at you. Let's look at the last thing and I'll be done. Not only should we forget the past, not only should we focus, but look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 one more time. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul did? He went forward. He said, these are my goals. I can't worry about who I was in the past. I need to go forward. I'm going to focus on them. And then he went. The best plans, the best set of goals and plan to get there are absolutely no good if you don't take some action and go out there and do them. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard you can't steer a parked car. You can, but it doesn't do any good. Because you can get in and turn the key so it's on or even start it up and sit there and steer all you want, but you know where you're going? Nowhere. So it doesn't matter what your goals are for God if you don't put action behind your words. That's why I like to tell people, when I decide I'm going to do something for God, or even at work, and I set a goal, I tell people. You know why? Because now I'm accountable. Mm-hmm. I'm not just accountable to me, myself, and this plan and goal I have up here, or I wrote down somewhere. But if I tell somebody, I'm accountable to them as well. And we need to, as we go out there and go forward for God, we need to let other people know what we're doing. We need to write them down and put them in front of us so we have something to look at. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In verse 14, or in verse 4, the Bible says this. It says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. There is never going to be the ideal time in your life where everything's going to calm down and be perfect for you to serve God. It's not going to happen. There may be a day or two like that, but once you start serving God and you start trying to achieve those goals, sooner or later, something's going to happen. So instead of saying, I'm going to wait, I'm going to wait, I'm going to wait, why not say, I'm going regardless of what happens? I got this thing going on in my life, but I'm going to go forward right now. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us should give account of himself to God. Your pastor is going to be accountable for what he teaches and preaches to you out of the Word of God. Your pastor is not accountable for what you do with that. You are accountable for what you hear from God's Word. You are accountable for going out there and serving God. Your pastor is accountable for making sure he tells you what God wants him to tell you, but you are the one that's responsible for putting the action to the preaching and teaching and going out there and serving God, setting goals for God and going forward. Bottom line is this. You have no one to blame but yourself. Even if your pastor only preached salvation every single service, and I know he doesn't do that, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's all it was a salvation message, how to get saved. You know what? Once you're saved, you're still responsible for getting in God's Word and finding out what God says for you to do. So, as we're done with Sunday school here this morning, I want you to think back for the last year or two. How long have you been saved? I don't know. Maybe some of you 15, 20, 30, 40 years. And ask yourself, what have you accomplished for God? When you get to heaven and you're standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ, what do you have as a reward? What have you done that God's going to look at and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I have a couple things in my life that I could probably say that God's going to be pleased with, but you know what? There's a whole bunch of things in my life, and if you're honest with yourself in your life, that God's not going to be pleased with. And oftentimes, it's because we never set a goal. We never said, this is what I'm going to do for God. And once we've set that goal, we truly don't try to go and achieve it. Folks, we're living in some rough times right now. I'm sure there may be some of you in here that know somebody or even has directly affected you with the economy and the job market and all that good stuff. That's not a reason to stop serving God. That's more of a reason to serve God. All this shows me is, you know what, the end time is coming quick. Jesus is coming to get us out of here quick. It may be a month, it may be a year, it may be 10 years, but we're getting close. And there's millions upon millions of people that are going to die and burn in hell forever. People that you know, that I know. And it's all because there's some people out there that won't set goals to serve God and go out there and tell those folks about Jesus Christ. As time gets rough, it's easy to focus on the wrong things. But I believe, myself included, we need to set some goals for God and then go out there and try to achieve them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the example, first and foremost, that Jesus Christ was, Lord, and the punishment and the pain and the suffering he took for me and for everyone in this room, Lord, that if we're just willing to accept him as our Savior. Lord, we're thankful for the example in Paul and how he went out there and had a desire to serve you and the hundreds upon thousands of people that were saved and heard the gospel because of his work. Now, Father, help us as we leave to set some godly goals and have a desire to serve you, Lord, to not let little things get in the way and to realize how vital it is that people are dying and going to hell. Lord, help us to serve you. Help us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We love you. Thank you again for your word and the examples therein. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.